Not much, man. Ready to talk some wrestling with you. And what a crazy week it was for wrestling, man. I thought it was a pretty good week for what the WWE did give us for this past week, man.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we can get a little deeper. I got some things I have to say about Monday. Monday was okay, but Tuesday
wasn't
I think
bad.
I don't know. I mean, we can get into it. So just in case for those of you who don't know, we're going to go ahead and give you a little bit of a rundown here. Talking our wrestling show, always do. Want to know, is the Cruiserweight division best on Raw or should it be on SmackDown? Daniel Bryan and Mick Foley, should they, as GMs, be recruited by some new GMs ready to go? Roman, can he bring back the Empire again? You know, we got a guy out there, his name is Donald Trump. You know, some people like him, some people don't like him. I myself do not prefer him as my candidate. If you do, don't smack me in the face just because I disagree with you. It's called, the right to think for yourself. So, and Trump has that slogan. Y'all know the slogan, make America great again. Can Roman make the Empire great again? Also, Dean Ambrose winning, he's winning. I'm like, hold on. He not only just won, but he did something very special on Tuesday that got me grinning from ear to ear. And, I'm always grinning from ear to ear anytime that happens. So I'll talk to you about that, too, and Hugo's going to join in with me on well. Also, we're going to talk about how do you feel about the Usos. Do you like this turn that they have? Fuck this mean streak, the new look. And we'll talk about that as well. And Monday Night Raw was supposed to be a go-home show. Talk about that. Because, go-home show is supposed to, make you get ready to, for the pay-per-view. It's supposed to go home to the pay-per-view. So, and then, of course, we'll go ahead and talk all about that. And Monday Night Raw, I don't know about you, Hugo, but I feel it necessary because there is a game on tonight to just throw in just a skosh bit of football and for NFL predictions. What do you feel about that, Hugo?
Yeah, I'm down with that, man. Let's get to it, brother.
All right, fantastic. So let's go ahead and get this party started. Monday Night Raw was in the books. It was their go-home show, setting up everything that you're supposed to get set up for your pay-per-view. This is going to be Raw's first pay-per-view. Exclusives called Clash of Champions. Hugo, you and I are intelligent wrestling fans. We already know all they did was just take what was around this time already called Night of Champions and just change it. That's all they did. Nothing special here, but it is exclusively to Raw. And their roster, as we have talked about since the draft, is the most stacked roster of the two. And sometimes they deliver with it, sometimes they have it. So, Monday Night Raw. Before we go, we're not going to get a belt raise or anything like that yet. But, Hugo, I got to ask, what was your favorite segment on Monday Night Raw? What really stood out to you as, okay, this segment right here is what's going to get me excited about the pay-per-view?
The pay-per-view, definitely the beginning segment. I mean, I've just been so happy with what I've seen with the women's division on the Raw, on both brands even. You know what I'm saying? I've been very happy when it comes to the women's division, something that the WWE, and let's be honest, has never, ever, ever been able to give us. And now with this crop of women wrestlers, definitely I am excited to see what Charlotte, Sasha Banks are ready to bring us to the table, and Bayley also on Sunday. And for the record, even though I could say I don't like a certain female superstar or a male superstar, that doesn't take away of the athleticism that they have, especially with these women. I think they're doing a fantastic job. I am excited to see that triple threat match, although I really don't like Bayley. I really don't like her, Micah. I think she's flat. But at the end of the day, I think she definitely has great athleticism.
Hold on. First of all, you're not talking about flat as far as maybe her body type. You're talking about flat as far as what she brings to the table wrestling, right?
Oh, no. It's whatever she brings into the table. I'm not talking about the assets. You know what I'm saying? That the assets
I'm just saying because,
too.
I mean, Bayley got some stuff, you know. You can't teach those cakes that Bayley has. I think Bayley got a little Hispanic up in her that she's not telling. She got a little bit of Hispanic and black person up in her. I think she's not telling about
her
full story, where she comes from.
She definitely knows how to back it up. But at the end of the day, I just really don't like her personality. In terms, I don't think it comes up really in this day and age. She reminds me too much She's too more goody good. You know what I mean? And that's something that just bothers me. And again, we're going to talk about John Cena in a little bit more, but she reminds me of the goofball that kind of could, that John Cena could definitely be. I think Bayley brings that into the table, to be honest with you. Also, I just want to say, man, I got to give it up to Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens, man. I really do. I what they did on Monday night, I really enjoyed their, you know, their cage match. However, Micah, was it necessary? Was a cage match really necessary? But
if we're following the storyline, Hugo, then the storyline would be okay. The cage is set up so that Rusev and Seth Rollins doesn't get involved in their match. That way, Roman Reigns can have a straight up match with Kevin Owens and then prove to the world that he's capable of being champion once again, thus pushing that redemption storyline that a lot of people, a la myself and some other wrestling fans that I know and I value their opinion, think is trying to happen right now. And that's why he's being in mid card jail right now, just so that when he gets that championship and he gets and it goes and explodes to the main card, it would have been okay. Well, at least he was in the mid card. He actually had a mid card title this time instead of just him going straight to the main trap. So, you know, but even then, having a mid card title doesn't mean anything anymore for the WWE. You either get it or you
don't.
But I
mean, I understand what you're saying, but isn't the focal point of the pay per view the main event and the co main event? They didn't really highlight, I should say, because of this type of main event. For example, yeah, we got to see Seth Rollins at the end of the cage match. Yeah, we got to see Rusev. But what I felt throughout this whole Gome Show feud is that it was really Owens and Reigns going into the final event than their counterparts. Like, I felt like it was more about Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns than it was Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns and Rusev. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say, man.
I get exactly what you're trying to say. So Roman Reigns wanted to get his get-back match against Kevin Owens, and they made that the focal point. But really, this is one of the things that took some points off, that took a lot of points off for Raw for me, is because your go-home show should be about Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins, and it should be about Rusev versus Roman Reigns. You brought that in at the end of the show, but I never really felt at any point in time that you actually highlighted that. You know, you kind of highlighted it in the first match, which was good. You highlighted in the end match, and especially with the late interference afterwards. You know, but really, at the end of the day, who did you really show? What were you really showcasing? Now for me, I totally understand where you're coming from. You have to highlight the people that are your main attractions. If Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins is your moneymaker match, if Roman Reigns is going to be your top money guy and you expect him to be your top money guy, regardless of what happened with his suspension and stuff, then you're going to put the strap on him at Clash of Champions, then it should have been about him and Rusev. And it should have been more so about that. But I think they're trying to structure it so that Roman Reigns gets a lot of different redemption and things like that. So out of those segments, your favorite segment was Hugo.
What's up? What was our second?
No,
what was your favorite segment?
The second segment was Braun Strowman destroying Sin Cara again.
Oh, you enjoy the former, like, you know, when it used to be the Mammoth versus the underdog, didn't you? You used to like that David and Goliath storyline. You're liking this Braun Strowman. I've noticed that about you.
I don't know what you're talking about. I understand that our cohort, the face that runs the place, the franchise himself, Mike Knox, likes squash matches. I don't mind squash matches as long as they start leading up to something meaningful. I remember when Ryback was in squash match purgatory until he actually started getting some meaningful views, and then we started to see what he could actually do against real competition. I think Braun Strowman, and here's the funny part. A lot of people didn't like Braun Strowman when he came with the Wyatt family because he didn't really do a lot. He punched, he threw a kick, and he put dude in the choke. Well, if you've been paying attention, Braun Strowman added some big guy power moves. And Braun Strowman has improved some in-ring ability to go along with the fact that he's just squashing people. So my hope is that this continues and that this eventually leads to where, you know, you have a huge guy. I love when big guys wrestle. It's in the power moves. Like him and Rusev in a match would be great. That's just me. I really like that. But I don't know. So that's just where I am with that. So I don't mind the squash matches too much. I know Mike Knox says that there's a whole lot of reasons why you have those squash matches, especially to set up a guy like Nia Jax, a woman like Nia Jax, who's going to have Alicia Fox this Sunday, and for Braun Strowman, whom I don't know who outside of Sin Cara they're going to really put him in a major feud with, but maybe we can go ahead and make that happen and figure that out. So,
well, here's the thing, though, Mike. I don't mind your occasional squash match. And I'm talking about occasional, the stretching. You do need sometimes jobbers. You know, Mike likes to talk about the jobbers. Sometimes you do need that jobber. However, what I've been seeing out of Monday Night Raw lately is that we've been seeing nothing but squash matches in terms of Nia Jax and Braun Strowman. It's too much.
Oh, no, don't forget, WrestleCom's having squash matches now, too. Well, hold on. Squash matches now,
too. Well, hold on. With all due respect towards Sin Cara and Alicia Fox, those aren't jobbers. They're, quote-unquote, to the eyes of fans, superstars. So, technically, they're not squash matches. Technically, the only squash matches were against matches nobody knew who they guys were, who were legitimate jobbers. Sin Cara is a former U.S. champion, tag team champion, multiple times over. And so, you know, with all that being said, not exactly squash matches.
Not exactly squash matches. They squashing them. But Bo's been getting squash matches. So, Mike, you and I were just talking about our favorite segment on Monday Night Raw. And since you have joined us and you are the face that runs the place, what was your favorite segment on Monday Night Raw?
I personally thought Monday Night Raw was really a really good show. I thought the main event was pretty good. I love the main event. I love the interaction between the superstars involving in the main event and everything that took place in the main event. What happened off Raw went off air. So, again, you guys know me, and I think it's something I'm prone to, that I've been depositioned to have to always like what other people don't like. And I really, really, really am having a big Roman Reigns fetish right now. No broke back. Like, I'm a huge Roman Reigns mark. Yeah, I don't know where it come from. I have become the hugest supporter and fan of him. The truth be told, you want to blame somebody on this mask back? I apologize, guys. Let me put a nickel on the meter. Happy birthday, everybody, to my man Hugo Rivera here. I mean, this guy has come through for me time and time again. As far as this network is concerned, on BDSR Network, here on Fox Sports, he is just the all the be-all to being, what a friend you could say would be a friend. We've never met each other, but I would seriously call him a brother. Happy birthday to you, my man. I cannot wait to see you next year down in Florida when I come to WrestleMania. Cannot wait.
Nah, Mike, really quick, but I appreciate it, man, definitely. I've grown because of you, man. I've grown because of you, because of the network. It's been 6 years, man. It's been almost 6 years since we've been taking over the airwaves, and I'm excited for the future. Cannot wait what we're gonna bring into this program when we go to WrestleMania next year here in Orlando. I cannot wait. I appreciate you, Mike, and thank you for the opportunity. I really am blessed because of you, man.
Now that I got all that mushy stuff out the way. As I was going to say, I blame Micah, honestly, because Micah, you made me actually, in the defense of Roman Reigns, started talking about his agility and his matches as a bigger guy. You know, I know he's not, quote-unquote, a giant. He's about, what, 6'5", 6'6", somewhere along those lines, but he's built as a monster-type wrestler. So,
yes, he is.
And I'm sorry. I think Roman Reigns... And I'm going to get a lot of trouble for this. And I hope Vaughn is here tweeting this out and whatnot. But I'm sorry. I think he's the future of the company. I think he has the look. He has the ability inside the ring. Yes, he can tune up on his mic skills. But everybody can't be AJ Styles. Everybody can't be, Kevin Owens and John Cena and those kind of guys on the microphone. Some guys can just be mediocre and get away with it. And there's been plenty of mediocre guys in the past that have gotten away with it. I think Roman Reigns really is the future. And once wrestling fans get out their arses about him coming out at the Royal Rumble and winning that match and it not being Daniel Bryan, then they could see the error of their ways as fans.
Well, I mean, like, at the end of the day, you can't. I mean, we can't do that. You know, this is an entertainment-based product, and
right.
They're going to have their opinion, and you know, they're going to like. And the thing about it is, a lot of it is, and like I said before, right? And you heard me avidly defend Roman Reigns for his wrestling ability. I don't think he's trash. I think he's very great with guys who can who are very athletic in the ring because he can actually keep up with them, make their moves even good because he's still really good at selling and selling damage throughout the match, throughout matches. He told a very, very good story with Kevin Owens. On Monday, and anybody who's taking away for that from him, they're taking it away based on the idea that Roman Reigns should have been pushed to the moon as soon as he got there. Those of us who are intelligent wrestling fans, like you've been training me to be, and like we've been putting onto the airwaves, know that he has the look instantly. We're like, you can see a guy like that, and I don't think underdog, I think top dog. So when he was put as an underdog against Daniel Bryan, I felt like my intelligence was assaulted. Ain't no way. He was an underdog against Daniel Bryan. He was the top dog.
Michael, let me just say something about Roman Reigns is that we've been trained, and I know Mike's going to disagree with me, but we've been trained that Roman Reigns had to be the it guy right there and then. And I think a lot of us, the reason why we're so sour on that is because we wanted Daniel Bryan. And I know Mike has said it's all about the storyline. I completely understand that wrestling is all about the storyline. But, Mike, you say it all the time. We're all junkies. We want what we want. And we want it now, you know, and I think that's where we have soured with Roman Reigns. Don't get me wrong. Roman Reigns is a hell of an athlete. He reminds me like LeBron James. Everyone knows that I hate LeBron James. But at the end of the day, LeBron James is a workhorse. he is a workhorse in the National Basketball Association, just like Roman Reigns is in the WWE. I just don't like because I like smaller guys. I like guys that can move better. However,
well, if you like smaller guys, then how come you don't like my man Neville?
Exactly.
he's not my cup of tea. He's not my cup of tea. I'm talking about medium-based guys, like, for example, Seth Rollins, Daniel Bryan. You know, like, and not even Daniel Bryan. Actually, Daniel Bryan is the size. Yeah, he's the size of Neville. You're right. But it's just that it's Daniel Bryan is a dime in the dozen. You know what I'm saying? He's a diamond in the rough is really what he was. CM Punk was a diamond in the rough as well. You know, these type of wrestlers. But, you know, I like your Seth Rollins, your Dean Ambrose's. Now it's when I'm trying to ease up on John Cena because I think John Cena, sorry, Micah, we need him in the WWE. Part-time or not, you need John Cena. But I think eventually this fad of people hating on Roman Reigns will eventually come around because I got to give it to you. I've watched Roman Reigns. I've seen him grow up, especially throughout this year, and I think he's doing a hell of a job.
You know,
I'm sorry, I had to give a little on that John Cena thing there. But once again, right? Like no matter what my personal opinion is about John Cena as far as his wrestling ability, my skills, whatever what have you, I do understand from a business standpoint his uses, and I do understand why the WWE is going to keep him around. And if he keeps going the way he's going, like it was on Tuesday, we'll get into that. I'm going to really like his position because that means he's doing what people wanted him to do for about 3, 4, 5 years now, and that's put the ball in someone else's hand. He doesn't have to run with it anymore. He's pretty much more than earned his spot, so he can give it to somebody else who's actually willing to take it and who can actually be productive with it. So that's where I am with
what I think the biggest problem with the company. I don't think it'd be guys burying other guys. I think it'd be the fact that the company doesn't know its heritage any longer. It doesn't know its roots anymore. It doesn't know what brought them to the dance, if you will. You know, the things that worked in the 80s, the things that worked in the, you know, the 90s. I know to some extent the 80s will never come back. The 90s will never come back because, I mean, it's just the internet and, you know, we can't do the things they did on TV back then. But overall, you know, if they get back into the formula, and that's all it is, the right formula of telling a story, letting a story play out, letting fans hate something enough and love something enough, and they don't do that. And I also think, you know, fans do play a huge part in that masquerade because fans don't allow things to unfold.
Yeah, no, that's big time. And, you know, when you, like you say, when you see the Roman Reigns going through that Royal Rumble match, and the fans didn't get Daniel Bryan. They was like, oh, no, we don't care that he won. Who cares? Oh, The Rock's out here? I don't care that The Rock's out here. I'm booing. And The Rock's like, you're booing me. I'm The Rock. You actually like me. I'm not even being a heel character this time. What's going on? That's what I say about that, man. But so
you boo the Rock, the fans are really mad. And again, that's why I say fans are retarded. Let things play out, and I just do.
Well, let me say, real fast,
before you take break. Oh, I'm sorry. What part of the show have I missed as far as things are concerned? Are we still on Raw overall, or?
Oh, it was just on Raw overall. We haven't given any belt grades yet. Haven't touched on the division or Daniel Bryan, Mick Foley, should that be replaced? Kind of wanted to put that in the context of what we're doing, in context of our show. Yay, because you taught me well.
Okay. Because I really have a problem with the wrestling fans not liking Raw. I really do. I am convinced that wrestling fans are now the 100% what the word trolling is and means, because it is impossible. There has not been a drop off significant enough to tell me that Raw is not what it was the very first week. Well, duh, obviously it's not what it was the very first week, and it can't be what it was the very first week. But it has been an equally good show at SmackDown every single week. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I want you to say that again to that long tweet. You said that wrestling fans are the truest definition and representation of what troll means?
Of what trolling is. Because think about it. If you look at what wrestling fans are, right? You look at the fact of, and excuse me, I'm just now on my way getting home from my daughter's school up at Virginia State University. So I'm not in the studio. I'm on the phone calling in. So please understand that right now. But because what is there not to like about Raw? You know, first it was SmackDown has done absolutely nothing different from the first couple of weeks other than the Miz promo. It's done nothing different. But all of a sudden now, wrestling fans are like, yo, SmackDown's way better than Raw. No, wrestling fans paint themselves into a corner to argue because people love to be argumentative. I like to argue against argumentative people because I think argumentative people on purpose to argue for no reason are I want to be careful with my words, okay? I don't want to say more lonely. How about that? I think people who argue for no reason and pick everything apart, they're just lonely in their life. So social media has helped people who have never had friends, who don't have really good friends, who outside of meeting someone on Facebook, Twitter, and social media don't really have any friends. So that's what they do. They argue. They become argumentative for no reason. That's like somebody telling me you can legitimately have an argument. I wouldn't agree, but if you said Kobe's better than LeBron, right, or LeBron's better than Kobe or Michael. Let's argue it. Great. That's a great conversation. But to sit here and see a program that is literally being run the exact same way on both these fronts and say one's so much better than the other, nah, my friend, you're just arguing to be arguing.
Mike, I want to say let me say something. I personally thought that Monday Night Raw was a good show. I didn't think it was great because some of the parts didn't make sense, at least to my liking. However, I thought the wrestling on Monday Night Raw was great. I thought the storyline progression for the women is spot on. I cannot wait to see Sasha Banks. I cannot wait to see Bayley, and I cannot to see the woman that runs the place in Charlotte. They're going to put a hell of a wrestling clinic on Sunday night at Clash of the Champions. Just some of the parts in terms of storyline, like it didn't make sense to me. And maybe you could elaborate better. Especially with the whole focal point being around really just Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns, and hence being a go-home show, not being Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins and then Rusev versus Roman Reigns. That's why I felt like it was a little bit out of place. I didn't think a cage match was needed for a go-home show. I think it may be like a tag match. And again, I know that we've seen it too many times, should have been the logical explanation for the go-home show.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I thought Monday Night Raw was great.
You see what I'm saying?
You're complaining about
getting a cage match. That's what I'm talking about when I come to wrestling.
No,
the cage match is fine.
Just the placement. It was just a placement. I think
right,
of the week.
Where else would you place a cage match with the champion heel and the face heel that is Roman Reigns? You can't place that match in the beginning of the show.
No. What I mean by placement, I meant the weeks, because you know how WWE does everything. They have a transitional feud in the middle of the feud, not in the go home show. That's all I mean by being the placement. I don't mind the cage match. I think the cage match is great, and hell, I was entertained on Monday night by both of these dudes. I think that they did a hell of a match on Monday night in a cage match. It's just that the placement, I don't think it should have been for the go home show. I think maybe last week it could have been better for the cage match. You understand what I mean? That's all I'm saying. Other than that, I was happy with the outcome of the cage match.
And again, that's why, and I get this. If not for the why, if not for the debate, then why do we have a show, right? Right. We got to say what we don't like about a show, what we like about a show, and things like that. And I get that. But have you guys ever noticed something for me? And you've been with me 6 years. You just said, right? And you listened to me before you joined me, right?
Right.
Unless somebody else says what you just said for me to go, or spot, which was normally spot, right? For me to go, oh, okay, all right, I can see that. Have you ever heard me say, man, that was a bad placement. Man, they should have had that match 2 weeks ago. You know why I never say that kind of stuff? Because none of it's important to me. The only thing that to me that should be – see, I want wrestling fans to be more like me. Remember the song, Sometimes I Dream That Hears Me, right? That's how I want the world to be. I want the world to be like Mike. So when it comes to wrestling fans, I want wrestling fans to be like Mike. And what is Mike? What kind of wrestling fan is Mike? Mike is a wrestling fan that just looks at wrestling and goes, ah, that was good. Or, all right now, that was pretty damn bad. You know what I'm saying? I don't try to judge the booking. I don't try to judge the order of a show. And I think that's where wrestling fans have gotten away from being fans. Because at the end of the day, fan is short for fanatic, right? Which means, look at us. We're fanatics about professional wrestling, right? But you got to be a fan. I think fans forgot how to be just that, to be a fan. Just sit there, enjoy, watch it, or don't enjoy. Not saying don't watch it anymore. Either you're enjoyed by it or you're not enjoyed by it. But be enjoyed by it. You feel me? I feel like Biggie Langston right now. I'm ready to testify, but we ain't got Devon or Biggie here with us. Go ahead, Mike.
347-637-3859. That's okay. We're gonna go ahead and take a quick break. We're gonna talk a little bit more about Raw. Give our belt grace. We're gonna go ahead and go into SmackDown and there's some of the things going on with that. And then, you know, of course, you know, with SmackDown having their show for it the way it is, I mean, it's a little different. It's not all the way different. It's a little different. Do you, Mike? You know, we talk about after break. Do you think Cruiserweight Division? Cruiserweight Division should be on SmackDown. You know, I'm Ron Burgundy. Anyway, I can't do that voice anymore, man. My voice got too deep for to be able to do that half-pitched voice. But anyway, this is the Fox Sports 1340 AM Solo Sports Perfect Plex Radio. We'll be right back.
What you got involved with. You have no idea who you're messing with. You have no idea. Congratulations. You think that you've got what it takes one more time to pull out the big one. Tonight's the night. The Rock walks in the people's ring and walks out. Champion.
be the best, so this work I put in. And yes, I'm grinding every sense of the meaning. When it comes to this rap thing, you know why I brings it, huh? Do you smell what Nux is cooking? I gotta be the best, so this work I put in. And yes, I'm grinding every sense of the meaning. When it comes to this rap thing, you know why I brings it, huh? You know why I brings it. Look, soon as I step on the scene, every time I come around, make these candy ass rappers know they rose and shut their mouths. Win is what I'm about, so many dubs that I lost count. If competition steps up, then I lay the smack down. Now, who wants some? Who wanna bring it? Who wanna get done? Pissing on y'all for the top spot, I guess that's why I'm number one. Numero uno, hold the belt like Bruno. San Martino, ever since the Bambino. Paparazzi following us every place that we go. Here's a keynote, every day I ball like CeeLo. My flow will bring the nation domination like D-Lo. When it's all said and done, call me the champ for the people. Huh? Do you smell what Nux is cooking? I gotta be the best, so this work I put in. And yes, I'm grinding every sense of the meaning. When it comes to this rap thing, you know why I brings it, huh? Do you smell what Nux is cooking? I gotta be the best, so this work I put in. And yes, I'm grinding every sense of the meaning. When it comes to this rap thing, you know why I brings it, huh? Yeah, you know why I brings it. Smackdown Hotel, know your road boulevard. No love for jabronis, over here we pull your card. You can bring your army, cause my squad is going hard. For me, you are not me, I am what you call a star. Clear my path, cause there's no way you can stop him. Every day I work hard, because losing's not an option. Even Mother Earth say that Fred must be rocking. She called me the Wayne, cause I got the whole world on my Johnson. All these Rudy Pools are trying to be famous. I'm like, who are you? It doesn't matter what your name is. I will bring it to you and whoever you came with. Take this book, turn it sideways, stick it up your anus. Do you smell what Nux is cooking? I gotta be the best, so this work I put in. And yes, I'm grinding every sense of the meaning. When it comes to this rap thing, you know why I brings it, huh? Do you smell what Nux is cooking? I gotta be the best, so this work I put in. And yes, I'm grinding every sense of the meaning. When it comes to this rap thing, you know why I brings it, huh?
Just bring it!
You know why I brings it. Love. Whether good or bad, I'm always entertaining. Electrify the crowd with every word I'm saying. Born with charisma, they love my catchphrases. I got the look that appeals to people all ages.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. This is the Soul in Sports with the crew, Fox Sports 1340 AM, the Perfect Blacks Radio. Man, and I love doing that. I love bringing in people, man. I love bringing in everybody. We still on one here with Hugo and the face that runs this place, the franchise himself, Mike Pyramid. Otherwise known as Mike Knox, he really gets hype about stuff. I'm trying to tell you. It's fantastic. Now, we've just been talking about Monday Night Raw. We'll be getting into some of the things we liked, some of the things we didn't like, our opinions about wrestling fans, trolls, all kinds of things like that. But here's another question. We got the chance. I was excited because I was watching the CWC, and those matches were fantastic. Loved every minute of it. Not a match that I was actually bored with, wondering what was going on. I loved it. I loved the champion, TJ Perkins. I followed his career when he was Suicide and Manning and another company that Mike Knox hates talking about, so I won't mention it. But that Fatal 4-Way for the number one contender cruiserweight match. Brian Kendrick, the Brian Kendrick, Cedric Alexander, who we got the chance to see at a wrestling promotion, and I got the chance to shake hands with him in person. Grand Metalli and Rich Swann put on a clinic on Monday Night Raw. But here's the question, and I'll start with you, Hugo. Is Monday Night Raw really the place for the cruiserweight division?
Absolutely not. I think Friday Night SmackDown should be the place that should have the Cruiserweight division. I think Tuesday nights is a perfect opportunity to showcase it. I think the reason why the WWE might be doing it on a Monday Night Raw is because when Nitro used to have the Cruiserweight division, obviously it was showcased. on Nitro, and I'm talking about WCW. I think that SmackDown suits it better in terms of probably the quality of the show. So some people like to complain out there that Raw at times has a better product and SmackDown has a better product. Well, Monday Night Raw already has, for example, in the women's division, has Charlotte, has Sasha Banks, has Bayley. I guess you could say the predominant females, although some people argue that they're better off on SmackDown. But I think SmackDown needs an identity. And I think since Raw has all these main event stars, I think the Cruiserweight division will probably better run on SmackDown. I think it fits the Blue brand much better. I think what they can do on Raw, they're trying to bring another division. If that's what they're trying to saturate is with another division, it could be home to the place of maybe like a hardcore division or something like that. But I think the Cruiserweight belongs on the Blue brand, guys.
Wow. Well, I am actually in agreement. and here's the reason why I'm in agreement with what you just said, Hugo. Now, the perception is, I'm only going on the perception what I see, what I understand from wrestling fans, my perception as well as a wrestling fan. When I watch Monday Night Raw, I don't think wrestling show. I just don't. I think it's a show that features wrestling, but it's an entertainment show. They have a lot of talking segments. They have 3 hours to fill. I see a lot of talking segments, a lot of backstage segments, a lot of things, and then they have some great matches in there, sprawled out a little bit, and they progress storylines. Great. Fantastic. Good job. When I watch SmackDown, they do similar things like Raw. They have their talking, they have their talking segment, they have their backstage segments, all that. But I feel I'm watching more of a wrestling show more so than a actual entertainment-based show. Could that be because a lot of the talking segments aren't as long because they don't have as much time to fill?
That's exactly what it is.
And when you have some strong things like a Cruiserweight division, is that to speed up or to give the fan a more wrestling-type show on Raw now? Mike? Because I heard you jump in there.
Well, I guess this is where you cross it over with the SmackDown type brand that it is and the Cruiserweight. I think what you're getting out of the Cruiserweight, and that's why I wanted to bring this subject up, is I think personally they're on the wrong program. And saying that because, to me, Raw's already jam-packed. Raw, to me, is jam-packed. It's 3 hours. You got your best talkers, your best wrestlers. You know, your more up-and-coming superstars are on the Raw brand. Why bring the Cruiserweights to them? It's the same thing when we saw Sami Zayn on Raw. Nothing against Sami Zayn, but with all due respect, he's a very little fish in a big pond there. Where on SmackDown, he could have, to me, been a bit of more bright star, you know, deep in the heart of Texas, as King Von Jr. 720 on Twitter would say. But the Cruiserweights... I don't know about you guys, and I know it was only 1 week. And remember, I've always said this. There's a difference between an ECW, NXT type of crowd, indie type crowd, than there is a WWE superstar crowd, universe crowd. The reason is what I've been arguing and saying for years and years and years. The majority of people you see at a WWE event have no idea what goes on in other promotions. They're WWE fans, even adults. They're WWE fans who have been bred to watch a product for 50, 60, 70 years. That's all they know. Yes, the Cruiserweights have been around, but not featured like this. Anybody else sit there and watch Monday Night Raw Cruiserweight Division and go, that crowd is pretty quiet? That was a pretty dead crowd.
Very dead.
And what makes a show, Mike? I always say, what makes a show? The crowd.
I was there for Stan, yeah.
Yeah, for better or for worse, the crowd makes a show.
Yeah, that's right.
On
TV,
it came off pretty well. But in person, backlash was pretty kind of dull because the crowd.
I'm trying to tell you, man, those live piped-in chants worked when it was on TV, man. I'm trying to tell you. Nothing like a crowd chanting and they're just standing there and nothing happening. But for some reason on TV, you hear loud chants, but no one's moving. Live TV? How do they do that? That's where I'm going with that, brother. So, we're all three of us are in agreement that the Cruiserweight division, because of everything that's going on with the Raw brand, all the talent, the talkers, the storylines they have, they're stacked to the nines. They should be on SmackDown so that SmackDown can have more than just four people to market. I'm trying to tell you, it's not fair. It's not fair. So, with that being said, we know the cruiserweights should be on SmackDown. That's very good. I love the agreement. But Mick Foley, Mike, you had a question about Mick Foley being the general manager and whether or not he should be replaced. Now,
well,
I don't know.
Let me put that in perspective. Let me put that in perspective when I said that.
Okay,
when
please.
I look at the general, when you look at the title and how, again, his I brought up earlier, the prestige, the history of an organization, right? When you see, when you think of the word general manager, what comes to your mind? You think of the Vicky Guerreros, the Shawn Michaels, the Paul Heymans of the world, right? The ones who have taken over a program, you really felt as if they put their stamp on that brand. When I look at Raw, Mick Foley, when I look at SmackDown, Daniel Bryan, they're placeholders. They're not implementing any of their, of what we know of them, into their show. So I'm not saying Mick's doing a bad job. I'm not saying Daniel Bryan's doing a bad job. What I'm saying is as the placeholders, as the quote-unquote general manager's position, I think they're both are not, you know, playing very well in their roles. I think they're just there holding up space. It could very easily be Stephanie by herself, as far as I'm concerned, with the authority, and it could very well be Shane McMahon, because that's truly, when I look at the at each show, that's who stands out to me, the owners, not the general managers. And this is why I said before that maybe the general managers shouldn't leave the program, because that way the general managers then can feel like they are being important. But in both cases, to me, Mick's a placeholder and Daniel Bryan's a placeholder who looks completely out of place on SmackDown. That female's title, women's match signing, he just stood there, did nothing.
Well,
Mick Foley,
really
he's starting to stutter over his words. That's not Mick.
Yeah.
He fixes himself very well, which is shows you how good he is as a as the character he is. He fixes himself the same way I would, you know, when you find yourself saying something off back or off kilter or you know, doesn't make any sense. You say something real fast to intercept another word with another word, you make it sound like another big word, there's a smaller word, but it's a bigger word that doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, really quick though, Mike, I personally think that they're trying to do a better job on SmackDown masking what the commissioner is, because I really don't see Shane McMahon week in and week out like we actually do see Stephanie Moore week in and week out. And unfortunately, she waters down Mick Foley. However, I do agree with you. Poor good old Mickles and poor Daniel Bryan, because they definitely do look out of place, man, very out of place. But I think in terms of the general manager stature, I do believe that Daniel Bryan is doing a better job because he seems to be getting more freedom than Mick Foley is. I don't know if you get my point, because you see more of Daniel Bryan than you see you see more of Stephanie McMahon than you see of Shane McMahon on each brand.
No, I definitely get your point. It's just, again, and it's an advantage point. It's where you're standing, and there, you know, my reality may not be your reality, and my perception may not be your perception. There's no. This is all opinion based. There's no fact to the matter, you know, based on what I see. But the way that it stands to me, it's like, come on, Mick. Where's the guy that it's like you're saying what you want to say, but then Stephanie comes in and she can just change the whole program, you know, and stuff like that. Like he makes the match, and then Stephanie goes, "Oh, it's not a title match though, Mick." You know what I'm saying? And that's not what he had. It was going to be a title match. And then she changed it from being a title match. The little things like that, to me, takes away from the title general manager. I miss when Edge was with Vicky as general manager. You knew that she ran the show. To me, the best general manager of all time in Raw history has to be Eric Bischoff. He truly came there and changed the show around.
Sure.
Hold on, no,
sure.
Sure.
Well, they agree. Totally agree. The impression that it was all him, his branding, his way he updated,
right.
His writing, all that. You felt that when it came to Eric Bischoff. But, you know, that's the main thing about Raw that I didn't like was because, now, granted, she's necessary right now because of how Triple H inserted himself into the title match, and Kevin Owens got that title, so she needs to be around for a little bit. But I always, when they established the general managers, right, and Stephanie was on Raw, I was like, she needs to go away. And not because Mick Foley is not capable of being a great general manager or a great presence on screen, it's because she's built up so much of her presence that as soon as she's there, he's now devalued instantly. It's not even a question. So when she came out first and tried to go ahead and set things up, and then he came out immediately after her to kind of like undermine it, I was like, yeah, it's not going to work. Because she does what she always does. She takes a little sight and cuts. She goes right for the squirrelies right there. She goes right for the...
Now, don't get me wrong. I love Stephanie's character, and I'm not one of them guys. I know some of you people don't want think that Stephanie should bow down and back away. And maybe I'm saying that in a sense, you know, and I don't – at this point is where I say this is where I'm being a fan. But at the same time, the fan in me says, okay, where's the separation of the two? Because I like Stephanie. I like what Stephanie brings. I think the crowd generally boos her the way they did, you know, Vicky Guerrero. I think she's truly that love-hate relationship. Like people – I think real fans know she's not someone you should be booing. But we boo her anyway. You feel me?
Okay.
And so if she was to go, what would we then have? I think we would miss Stephanie. But then maybe not, because they've been there almost four straight years. We don't know. I've kind of gotten used to her being there every Monday night.
Well, realistically, we have seen Stephanie McMahon, like, for the last 15 years on and off. Let's be completely honest. At the end of the day, I think Stephanie is better off without Triple H, though, in the whole authority figure. I think she's doing a much better job, because I thought Triple H would water down Stephanie, but I think Stephanie is way better without Triple H in the helm. I think she does a better job in that standpoint. However, I think what Micah is also trying to say is, you know, Stephanie needs to go away. And at that standpoint as well, Micah, I think Shane needs to go away and let these two be the authority figures of each brand. And then if you need to consult, if something gets out of hand, that's when you consult your commissioner. However, this whole thing that we see Stephanie McMahon week in and week out, I don't think it's working out, and it really waters down poor old Michaels, man.
That's where I'm coming from with that. You know, in order for that role and that title to be taken seriously, it cannot be constantly undermined by the name McMahon. We know they're the COOs of the brands. And we know that in case something really hits the fan, that they're going to be there to kind of fix it and see what's going on. But I think that, you know, Daniel Bryan has to talk to the chops to kind of make some things interesting enough outside of the thing that happened with the Miz. I think Mick Foley, obviously, because he's earned the right to do so, has to talk to the chops and has the ability to be able to book some really, really good matches and to keep people entertained. I mean, it could have been a title match. It could have been a title match that, on Monday night. It very well would have added a little bit more drama. And Kevin Owens winning that match then would have even more solidified his legitimacy as the champion on the Raw brand right now. And so that, I mean, those things work in people's favor if you do that. But and that's just what I feel about the general managers and things like that, just where I am with that. So with that being said, gentlemen, what is your overall upgrade for this Monday Night Raw go-home show as we preview Clash of Champions coming up this Sunday?
I'm curious to see what Mike's doing here, because I want to see if we're running at the same, because I think we both were happy with it.
I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 Universal Championship belts. Because
really?
A,
Universal?
It's new. Yeah, it's new. It's fresh. I have yet to be unentertained by Monday Night Raw. The only parts of Raw that I can always do without is what we talked about last week. I don't think that Sheamus and Cesaro dance well together.
Yeah,
you know?
True.
Besides that, which is, you know, you got sometimes you hit and miss with certain guys. Both guys to me are very good workers, so it was really strange and odd. They don't work good together, you know? Or their matches. I like Sheamus's matches. And maybe you want to put this on Sheamus. Maybe we're getting too much Cesaro lately. I know one thing, that thing that he does with that Superman suit that he rips off is really stupid and corny, you know. But overall, I thought the go home show. Look, to me, I always know a good show is good when I go to sleep on it, right? Because my hours that I work, but I wake up immediately and watch it. And when I wake up to watch it, I don't fast forward. To me, that shows it. That's the signs of also a good program. 4 out of 5 Universal titles. I love red titles, and I love Monday Night Raw this past week. Hugo?
Really? You actually like that red title? I'm turned off by that.
I love that
belt.
From
the
first time I saw that belt, I said I wanted it.
Are you going to get it?
It's right now, the way that belt prices have gone up, I don't know. I think me collecting belts might be over. I can't see me dropping $500 on a title each belt anymore. And that's the thing. When I was buying my belts, they were $275. You know, now they're twice that. And it's people like myself that made it famous. When you're in magazines and you're on DVDs, and that's what happens. We made it famous. Hashtag shout out to the Belt Kings.
I'm going to go ahead and give it, guys. I thought it was good. I really like the overall wrestling, especially, like I said, the women. I can't praise the women enough, guys. And I have never done that on this program before like I have in the last couple of months. And that's because I'm spoiled of what we've been seeing out of Charlotte. I think Charlotte is obviously the pioneer of women's wrestling. We haven't seen such a dominant female come up in a while. I mean, you can make your argument for AJ Lee and some of the other ones that have come up, but I think Charlotte's just fantastic. However, like I said, I thought the placement of the cage match, to me, it wasn't up to my liking, but it was a great match, which, hell, if we're going to go by overall quality of the show, I really liked it, and I am going to give it a 4 out of 5 Randy Orton Intercontinental Championship reigns when he was with Evolution, which I really enjoyed. What Randy Orton did in those title runs, he had quality opponents, so it was a decorated title run. So I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 Randy Orton Intercontinental title runs, Micah.
All right. Well, I am personally going to do also an Intercontinental Championship run, and I will give it a 3.5 out of 5 Man's never-ending championship, Intercontinental. The never-ending championship tour. Because I thought Raw was still very entertaining. There were some things that were lacking for me when it came to just how they just set some things up for the go-home show. But it was still good enough for me to be entertained by it. So I am fine and satisfied with that. So, gentlemen, let's take another break and get back on the stick with SmackDown Live and all the awesome things that happened there. Man, Mike, you know I'm really excited about one thing that happened on SmackDown Live, and it just keeps me grinning from ear to ear. 347-67-385. Ooh, I like that.
I'ma face paint my face, jump up in the crowd, start a mosh pit when we spit, they screaming loud, it's Fred Nux and Don One, all up in your area, LOS up in the building, I know you're scared of us, be prepared for us, never, you get your head severed, measured, plucked and feathered, stuff on the dresser, you better pray, or you'll become the prey, cause we the warriors, come out and play. I'ma face paint my face, jump up in the crowd, start a mosh pit when we spit, they screaming loud, Fred Nux and Don One, all up in your area, LOS. West up in the building, I know you're scared of us.
Yeah.
Prepare for us, never. You get your head severed, measured, plucked and feathered, stuff on the dresser. You better pray, or you'll become the prey. If we the warriors, come out and play.
Yeah. Yo, soon as my music hits, I'm running through the aisle. My intensity, you can feel it in the crowd. Fans screaming out loud, it's Nux the dealer warrior. And y'all ain't getting no bucks, your label's whoring ya. And I ain't gotta talk clothes in my rhymes. Off the ropes, hit you with a sickle, that's my clothesline. Oh my, won't stop till I'm multi. Coming for these rappers, next nigga bow tie. It's a must, I go hard on these choke shots. Cause most guys is rapping and spitting more lies. And
that's
now
right.
Set it straight, pick a day to set your fate. So for now, address me as Fred the Great. Y'all can't name a track, Fred never late. Turn up the heat on these fools and let them bake. Killing rappers and body and songs. Cause I'm tighter than the strings on a warrior's arm.
I put the smack down, Mac down, Pat down. Niggas better back down, get hunted and track down. Who wanted it rap now? It's a rap now. She's in the background, holding my crown. I turn you into some ground, round pound. No exaggerant headaches from my surround sound. Tapping you to the ground, my game is vicious. I power bomb you right through the mat like Sid Vicious. Climb up to the top of the turnbuckle. I fall bury you in your face, you earn nothing. I'm spitting fire as rhymes that burn stucco. So pardon
scum. You better off playing with a bomb in the middle of Vietnam. Snatch off your charm, put you in a chokehold, in that chicken wing your arms, and using that chicken parm.
Hey yo, back up on my grizzly bear, best believe it's Freddy's share. Been every place and everywhere, still repping in Delaware. You don't wanna play around because my goons is heavy here. Next to be king, you ain't even a prince of Bel Air. This is good money, homie, and y'all are counterfeit. Got a weak ladder for weak rappers, and I'm about to piss. On the industry, I'm too real, like I'm about to fish. Reel them in, skin them, and cook them, put them on a dish. Bone appetite, homie, I don't have to fight. Better have your ratchet right for you begin to act the life. And I don't talk too greasy because a rapper life is listening, I'm glistening, you ain't half my life. I'm the savage type, homie, you the faggot type. Quit rapping, your passion is really fashion right. If they had a line to change the sex and wear a dress, just as I expect, you'll be there screaming next.
I'ma face paint my face, jump up in the crowd. Start a mosh pit when we spit, they screaming loud. And spread nuts and Don One all up in your area. LOS up in the building, I know you're scared of us. Be prepared for us, never. You get your head severed, measured, plucked and feathered. Stuff on the dresser, you better pray or you'll become the prey. Cause we the warriors, come out and play. I'ma face paint my face, jump up in the crowd. Start a mosh pit when we spit, they screaming loud. And spread nuts and Don One all up in your area. LOS up in the building, I know you're scared of us. Be prepared for us, never. You get your head severed, measured, plucked and feathered. Stuff on the dresser, you better pray or you'll become the prey. Cause we the warriors, come out and play.
Get on the space shuttle and go right into the black hole. If you want to find out what the ultimate warrior is all about, where I have not yet stretched the surface of my destiny, it lays way beyond your eyesight will ever take you. But I know about your past, your present, and your future. Your future lays within my hand. At WrestleMania 7, I will take my hand and my warriors and end your career.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. 347-637-3859. Press that number one. The one. The great one. And you can go ahead and have a conversation with us. This is the Solar Sports with the crew. Perfect Plex Radio. Still on the horn here with Hugo and Mike Knox. We're going to go ahead and get into SmackDown Live, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, SmackDown Live happened. There is no go-home show for them because, well, they already had their pay-per-view at Backlash. That was my birthday. I got, you know, broke my belt chain. All kinds of awesome stuff. It was great. I don't know about you, but I love it. So, SmackDown Live. Well, my perception is a better wrestling show. I like it for a variety of reasons. Obviously, one of the biggest eye catchers there were Daniel Bryan and what he does with the show as far as the way he interacts. We had some good matches on SmackDown. I thought the SmackDown segments were good. Pretty much an overall better show, in my opinion. I thought, you know, when it came to just setting it up for me and what I wanted, what I could get myself into, than Raw at the time. So, Hugo, when we look at SmackDown, we had a lot of different things. We had Alexa Bliss going at Becky Lynch. We had Randy Orton fighting with Eric Rowan for whatever reason. Eric Rowan stealing something from another company, which, you know, all companies, you know, all wrestling companies steal something from each other. So we had the Usos against American Alpha going back at it. Apollo Crews moving. I guess he needs to be called Apollo Creed just to get over. Apollo Crews being the stepping stool for Baron Corbin to go against Jack Swagger because, you know, when you talk Jack Swagger, you got to make sure that you pass the list along with you when you talk Jack Swagger. John Cena wrestled Dean Ambrose. Miz and Dolph Ziggler have theirs, kind of a championship match. A lot of stuff to talk about here. Naomi having another good showing. Hugo, let's talk about it. Likes, dislikes from SmackDown Live, Hugo.
All right, so we're talking about it. I'm going to go back again into my women's division brand. Why Alexa Bliss? Why? I mean, I understand that they're trying to do Nikki Bella versus Carmella. However, I think there are other female wrestlers on the SmackDown brand that should have fit the better mold as a number one contender
than Alexa Bliss, in my opinion. I never liked her on NXT. Do not like her on Friday. I keep on calling Friday SmackDown on SmackDown Live. Why Alexa Bliss? That's something that I don't get. Yes, I understand that she's the cute one. I understand that she is your Barbie-looking
type of girl.
I'm sorry,
the cute one.
I'm talking about the way they present her. I don't think she's attractive. I'm talking about she looks like Barbie, you know? That's what I mean by cute. I don't think she's attractive at all, but she just looks like Barbie. So I understand if they're trying to bring on some eye candy. You know, the average male, they do like blonde hair, blue-eyed girls. You don't like Carmella? I think Carmella. I'm talking about to put her as the poster woman of the SmackDown brand.
Poster woman is Becky Lynch.
Nikki Bella.
She has to wrestle somebody. So I think right.
But Mike.
No, man, I'm giving you my opinion about your question.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
I think she might be the best female talker there. Like it or not, I said the exact same thing you were saying. I said, ew, Alexa Bliss. Why Alexa Bliss?
Right.
Then I hear her talk, right? When I say best talker, people, this is what I mean. What makes any wrestler believable is how they come across. They have to be made believable. When you hear, like, for instance, the backstage interview that Filme Mignon and Nikki Bella had was so fake and corny to me.
Uh-huh.
Right? It didn't come off believable or anything. The glow is a way of life, and all that looked stupid and corny. Right? It wasn't believable. And that's a lot of divas come off that way. You always got, you know, you see and you go, I can't believe that. That's what made Lita and Trish. They were believable. Stacy was believable. You know, the 90s wrestling women were believable. I think Alexa Bliss is believable when she's on the microphone. And she's not a half-assed wrestler. You know what I mean? And that's just my take on that. Micah?
Really quick, though, Mike. I honestly do believe that. Really quick. I just believe that someone like Naomi, who's been a workhorse, I think she's deserving of that spot than Alexa Bliss, but I understand she's a face, and obviously we don't want to see face versus face, even though we're in an era where face versus face does not matter, but I think there are other established females like Naomi deserve to be in that spotlight. That's all, because when I said Alexa Bliss, you're like, why? You know, that's my beef with what's going on SmackDown with the women. Sorry, Micah, go ahead, man.
No, you're good. What I thought about it was, you know, I thought they were trying to find someone in that particular women's division that can actually have a legitimate issue with Becky and really sell you on their championship match. Alexa Bliss actually did have some stuff with Becky back in NXT. That's why they brought it up. She also got her first win off of the new women's champion for SmackDown when she got to SmackDown Live. So it makes sense that she can say things like, you know, that I'm going to beat you. You're not really nobody. You're just this, that. I believe that she also brought up that it was something related to the Four Horsewomen and how she was, like, really the one left out, like she was just there. I was trying to remember exactly what she said. But, you know, Alexa Bliss, you know, she did the Harley Quinn thing, you know, which, you know, Mike was, like, totally sold on her from that point on. she was dressed as Harley Quinn, and that's pretty much a wrap for anybody.
I've never been sold on anything Alexa Bliss has done, but that did kind of go over with me at Backlash.
I'm not a fan of
Alexa Bliss, personally. That's just me.
I understand. No, okay.
No, I like the look she had with Harley Quinn, you know, with the Harley Quinn look, because I'm infatuated with Harley Quinn, thanks to Margaret Robbie. But other than that, But we got Wrestling Summits on Fox Sports Radio's own fantasy guru lately, and now I've always known he's a wrestling progeny, but now he's a fantasy football progeny as well, calling into the program. Nephew Corey, what's going on, man? We're talking wrestling, which means you had to call in.
Yeah, I bet. What's going on, everybody? How are you all?
Nephew Corey, it is an honor, sir, the person who crowned me as a new belt holder. I am not a belt king. I'm only a belt duke, working on becoming a belt prince, and work my way up to you gentlemen.
I'm sorry. I would still call you a Padawan. You ain't even got your lightsaber yet.
Put your hood on.
What's going on, Corey? What's on your mind?
What's going on? What are we talking? Who are we talking about?
Well, right now we're debating SmackDown right now and its credibility. And Huggo's thing was, you know, why Alexa Bliss. And I was giving them my opinion, and Michael's giving his opinion of why she might be in that spot that she's in. I just think she's probably the most believable diva they have there on the SmackDown roster as far as her character.
Come on, are you kidding? She's Alexa Bliss. Anything better than Naomi right now, my gosh, I'm sorry. I want to like Naomi more, but seeing her with the interview with Nikki Bella, I'm sorry. I want to like Naomi more. I really, really want to like her more. But at this point, it's the same old song and dance, no pun intended. At this point, if they're not, and it's part of that's not her fault, but if they're not going to do nothing with her, why not a fresh face? I love Alexa Bliss. I love the position she's in. I know she's not going to beat Becky, but why not throw her out there and see what she can do?
And then that's me. Like, why? What else you have to lose? She, like I said, I think she's believable in her character, and you hit the nail on the head. It was something about we want to all love Naomi, but it's just Naomi, you're killing yourself with your. It's like when you watch Total Divas and she became a heel and she didn't want to do it. It's like you couldn't believe what she was doing. I believe her being more of a badass and Team Bad than I do in the Glow. Personally.
Yeah, that's true.
Because
it's okay. We all know Becky's keeping it warm for Eva Marie anyway, so it doesn't matter.
For who? For
Eva
Marie.
Already get all orange. It'll be all red.
You know,
all orange.
You know what? He might be right though. He might be right.
I like Corey's wrestling mind when it comes to damn near everything, except when it comes with his infatuation with Eva Marie. I just can't do it.
Look at her, guys.
Once I see her count her steps, that was all I couldn't take it. I just couldn't take it. I was all for, she has the look, she has the personality. She has everything it takes to be great except for her in-ring ability. And to me,
exactly.
As a female wrestler, you don't have to be great in-ring. You just got to be serviceable. There it is. I got it.
You can't be counting yourself. Obviously looking like you're trying to actually do a move. Like, okay, here I go for this move. Let me go ahead and pick her up in this way so I don't hurt myself or her. No, you're not supposed to make it that obvious.
They love her so much, they gave her trainer, the Brian Kendrick, a chance at the Cruiserweight Championship.
Exactly.
He's a good trainer.
Well, here's the thing. It's simple. Eva Marie's the last link to anything diva or sexuality. They weren't going to completely turn over to women's wrestling. We knew they
absolutely
weren't.
Not.
She's absolutely the last link of entertainment value as far as a look between the women's wrestling, because if we had all women's wrestling, I mean, yeah, okay, us fans are all like, oh, yeah, I'm glad it's here. But for that guy who's just walking in with his buddies that's just going to Monday Night Raw or SmackDown, they want to see something. And I love, you know, Bayley and Sasha and Charlotte. I love all of them. But they ain't even Marie to look at on the eyes. I'm sorry. I'm just saying.
No, they're not.
But, yeah, Nikki's the one that comes closest, because when I was looking at her on Tuesday, I'm like,
you know, she belongs to John Cena and her number one fan, Mike Knox.
Yeah, but Nikki ain't all that fan, man. Nikki ain't all that fan.
Mike, you know me.
I will always be a fan of this. They're Eagles fans.
Mike,
I don't care what they do.
Mike,
yeah,
you know
good point.
I've come on this show, and I have always praised on how Eva Marie looked, and you, Spot, and KME would always chew me out because I used to praise of how she used to look. So you know me when it comes to Eva.
I still think she has
craters
in her face.
Okay.
She does.
She probably does.
You know what I mean? She eats too much god darn candy.
Mm-hmm. That's what the women's division, and we all got our issues with that. But you know, here's another thing: the tag team division, I think, has been very, very good, kind of good. It's been like really a three-team race. But we had the Usos taking on the American Alpha, and American Alpha's little revenge match against you kicking us out the tournament and stuff like that. So, you know, Usos come out on top. They're total heel characters right now. I personally am loving them as heel characters. I want to finish because, that, you know, the splash is like, okay, that's, you know, still reminding me of your good guy. Give me a heel finish. Give me a heel finish. Come on. Give it to me. So, like, you know, like, you know, Vince McMahon sells guys in his office. And, you know, that's just how I feel. I love what the Usos are doing. Yeah, some people caught that. Some people caught that. I love what the Usos are doing. I love their character. I love their character. I love the fact that now we can have them, and I feel is their more natural character state, because the whole, you know, Usos coming out doing little chants and stuff like that, painting your face, you know, like, yay, we're happy Samoans. Yay, like, nah, bro. Nah, we need
see,
you to be.
I partially disagree. And here's why. I don't think nothing's wrong with the chant. I do agree with the paint. And I think Spot said it last week, which would be dope, if they came out and paid homage to Umaga by doing the black paint. And I think
that would make them really
– like, don't take the face paint away, which they've done. Because I don't think they're going to go back. You know what I mean? So I don't think there's no going back. I think what's done is done. However – I do like the fact if you put that – go all black with the face paint. You know what I mean? Because – and again, it's homage to your uncle that you constantly reference. And something I learned – I saw on SmackDown too, which I've never seen. It actually said trained by Hall of Famer Rikishi. And I thought that was funny when it came out on the right-hand side.
It said sons of and trained by.
And trained by, right. Right.
You
got to make sure you know they're who they are. You know, they're Hall of Famers in the making.
But, guys, really quick, when it comes to the Usos, don't they remind you of what was that tag team with Eric Bischoff, 3-Minute Warning? I think they could work out like 3-Minute Warning, even though they don't have the size. But they're, the way that they're presenting themselves, they could easily become henchmen for someone, because they look – like henchmen now, and I'm loving everything about the Usos. They needed this makeover, Mike. We've always talked about this on this show, that it was already getting bland with the whole face paint. I know that you enjoyed the Usos. No, but to the casual fan, we're already getting bland. Mike, it's been like about 5 years since we've been seeing the same shtick with them. I think this turn will be great, and I think if you make them kind of like 3-Minute Warning, I think this team is going to go places, man. I think they could be the poster tag team of the whole WWE brand outside of the New Day.
I think they win him at No Mercy, personally. That's my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, because you're seeing the dissension between Rhino and Heath Slater. Eventually, that'll come to an end anyway.
I never knew Rhino could be funny. Don't you touch my character.
I like that shirt. I want to get that shirt too, though. Mike, that shirt that you had also.
The
Rhino shirt?
So
I like
need
that.
A job. Oh, no, the Rhino shirt. I'm talking about Heath Slater's shirt.
No, I love Heath Slater's shirt. I need a job, but the Rhino was pretty cool. It said vote for Rhino, and it had, like, all these political type of things around it. It was pretty cool, man.
Yeah, but he's really running for a seat, so he's really running for an actual political seat. So, like, if you did not catch his commercial with the one and only Kurt Angle, put in a brother and an Angle lock to make him vote. It was hilarious. It was fantastic. And he was so serious while Kurt Angle just sitting there snapping this guy's ankle into. And he was like, make sure you vote for me. Terry Guido Garen. I'm like, what? Your middle name is Guido? Okay. I thought you was kidding me.
I mean,
so,
they aren't as good as the Jay Lethal commercials, that's for sure, on ROH. They aren't as good as those.
Exactly. So, Gorm, what do you think about the Usos, man? What do you think about the Usos and their makeover and how they've been portraying themselves now?
Well, you know what's funny? The gentleman in Riff referenced them to their uncle and cousin, you know, with 3-Minute Warning. That was the first thing I thought when they changed over. I said, oh, they're now 3-Minute Warning, pretty much. I was like, without being somebody's henchman. That's pretty much exactly. It's so funny that he brought that up. I love exactly what they're doing with the Usos. It was a long time coming, pretty much. When they put them with Roman, I mean, earlier this year, I said, oh, this is coming. I said, just by default of them being with Roman, you've got to turn them heel now. They're more expendable to turn heel than Roman is right now. So They did what they had to do, and now they're going to reap the benefits of it. And it'll lead to them holding the titles all the way to WrestleMania when they drop the American Alpha. That's just my prediction.
Well, no, but it makes sense because the American people want American Alpha now, and if you give them a slow, slow burn, that slow,
the money's in the
case. Yeah.
The money's in the
all
case.
You gotta do,
so,
and it's, boom, it's going to be right there. And plus, American Alpha, that's a team where you can fake an injury and put them on the shelf a little bit, so that way you don't have them legitimately injured. You know, so that we have another hurt mania like it was. So, no, I'm with you on that.
Absolutely.
Dolph Ziggler and The Miz. The Miz is never ending. Intercontinental Championship Tour. Yo, fellas, what are your thoughts about Dolph Ziggler losing again to The Miz? You know, I wanted to get to that because I didn't want to talk about Apollo Crews and Baron Corbin just yet. But The Miz and Dolph Ziggler having another championship match. Maurice gets strong away from ringside. Speaking of people that's actually pretty to look at, I actually think, you know, minus the fact that she has Nocitol syndrome. If you don't know what that is, I'll say it slowly for you off air. But she has some Nocitol syndrome. So outside of that, she's very, 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 very. Miz has won at life. With his wife, him and Jack's wife, they have one at life when it comes to the lady that they have on their shoulders. So, was this match kind of like, man, was it good? Was it like, okay, it's further in the storyline? Is like, does Dolph Ziggler just not matter anymore? I mean, you know, he's actually bought in a super kick as a legitimate finisher this time instead of just it's just something there. So, what can we do about that?
Dolph Ziggler, regardless, he's always going to matter, in my opinion, because you need workhorses like Dolph Ziggler. At the end of the day, I've always been critical of Miz. I know people are loving what he's doing with his never-ending Intercontinental title run, and they've liked what his work has been for the last 2 or 3 years. I get that. I just don't like the Miz, guys. It's just me. Although he's at the perfect spot, I think he fits the mold of the Intercontinental title picture perfectly. I just don't like Miz. And the reason why I don't like Miz, and you just said it yourself, he won at Life with Maurice. And I remember Miz 15 years ago when I used to see him in the real world back to New York acting like a douche. That's why I don't like Miz. And I know I shouldn't think that way because wrestling is storyline, but that's the reason why I don't like Miz. Other than that, it was a hell of a match, and I loved the match. I thought the match was great, guys. I thought it was fantastic.
I respect that. Here's the thing with Dolph Ziggler. Right now, I think maybe everybody's looking too far into it. Oh, Dolph doesn't matter. He's just one. This is exactly what they want to do with Dolph. There is winning and losing, and that's where Dolph is right now. His character is being built now to where we're like, oh, he's always losing. And then, boom, they do something out of the ordinary with him. I can't put my finger on what it is yet, but then it's going to be something where you're like, oh, all of a sudden, everybody, Dolph matters. They gave you a tease of it when they put him in the world title match with Dean Ambrose. They'll do it again, and it'll be something more permanent.
True.
And as for the Miz, I'm calling this now, and I've been calling it for a while. He breaks Honky Tonk Man's record. I'm calling that now. There's no need to take the belt off him. He's going to break Honky Tonk Man's record. He's going to. The never-ending Intercontinental Championship
outside the Miz right now, but someone asked him, what do we have to offer right now outside of the Miz for a compelling mid-card feud that can actually give me something for it?
No one, and that's the problem with SmackDown that we've talked about on this show is that they just don't have a mid-card backbone, for the exception of the Miz and Dolph Ziggler. That's where Raw comes in. That's why Mike likes to allude that Sami Zayn would have been perfect for SmackDown. I think a Miz versus Sami Zayn program on SmackDown would have been great. But other than that, they don't have a backbone. They don't have a backbone in the mid-card division.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, you can give the brother who I wish will get more wins, you can give him a championship strap and make him legitimate for a change. You know, we know who you're talking about, right? The bearded one himself.
Oh, Apollo Crews.
Mr. Bray Wyatt.
Oh, Bray Wyatt.
So,
yeah,
exactly. So,
right.
Guys,
we'll talk about Bray Wyatt in a bit.
Yeah, we're going to be off at 6:30, so we're going to go ahead and move fast. The biggest part of the night for me was Dean Ambrose getting what some would say an actual clean win on Josh. You know how the meme goes. And his name is, I don't know how in the world they did it. I don't know why they did it. But I'm happy that even though they kicked out each other's finishers, which is like a staple in John Cena matches, kick out the finisher 8 times, false finishes, 1,000 2 counts, you know, just make it seem like it's actually interesting. That's just me. That's just where I am with him. But Dean Ambrose gets the win on John Cena. You know, does that mean that John Cena is going to be winning that belt, or does it mean that maybe John Cena is actually going to do what a lot of us would like for him to do and wanted him to do for at least the last 5 years, which is start giving the ball to someone else, let the young talent go ahead and take over and put it in their hands, regardless of what creative says?
Here's the thing about John Cena. John Cena does not mind putting the talent over. I don't think him personally minds it. It's the company, because he is the poster child of the WWE. But now that John Cena is venturing into other paths, I think it's now a great time for him to be able to bring some of this talent over, i.e. Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose had a lackluster title run, unfortunately, and Mike and I came up with a hashtag Summer of Ambrose, and it under-delivered when it came to the hashtag of Summer of Ambrose. So unfortunately, for Dean Ambrose, it didn't work out well, but I think with John Cena there, I think you'll be able to see Dean Ambrose being elevated, and I think that's the reason why John Cena is there, to elevate even more AJ Styles and Dean Ambrose.
Ambrose, what happened with Ambrose, unfortunately, the brand split happened. Had there not been a brand split, we really could have saw Ambrose flourish. When they split the brand, he went to SmackDown, and it didn't matter because Raw was debuting a new belt. So he was already secondary at that point. It was already ruined by then.
Well, then there you go. So, so we're in agreement on that. Very quickly, Mike gives his belt grade for SmackDown Live. He's going to give it 3.5 out of 5 Cody Rhodes Intercontinental Championship runs. I don't know if that's, I don't know if that's, the mustache one, the I'm dashing one, what it is. But you know, I like most of Cody's IC runs, so I'm with him on that. Nephew Corey, if you had to give this a belt grade, because you're the belt king, you're one of the belt kings, what would you give the SmackDown Live show?
I'm giving it. Are we going titles? We're going titles this time, not run. Okay. So what? No, I'm gonna be different. I'm gonna go run. I'll give it 3 Shawn Michaels 1993 Intercontinental title run. That's what I'm gonna give it.
Okay. All right. Here you go. What you give it?
Oh, this is tough. I'm gonna give it a 3.5. Yeah, you know what? I can't even think of a belt grade. Sorry, guys, because I'm trying to gather my thoughts, and I know we're running against time. I'm just gonna go ahead and a three and a half out of five stars. I can't really pinpoint what title I want to give SmackDown, but I'm just gonna go 3.5 stars on that one, Micah.
All right. Well, I thought that SmackDown was a little bit better than Raw. It wasn't a distant better than Raw, but it was just enough. I'm going to give it a 3.75. Micah M.E. Richmond, WWE, because it's still a great feeling, and I still like the show, it was a little bit better than Raw and things like that, and it's still new and fresh, and they still try to do some things, but it's still missing something. Like, you know, I'm missing a belt to get to my wife, and I'm going to work on that as best as I can. So, with that being said, for Mike Knox, for Nephew Corey, for Hugo, I am in the... I'm just saying, I am M.E. Richmond. You can find me on the Twitter, M.E. Richmond. This is the Solo Sports with the Crew. This was Perfect Plex Radio. Folks, go ahead and do what Mike Knox tells you to do, and do more than just Facebook. That's all. Just do more. It's okay. Read a real book, folks. Honor to you, Mike Knox. We are out this
talented. I'm God gifted. The best there was ever. Are you not entertained? Are you? game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice.
Great cash, homie.
This is the Shoulder Sports, hosted by Mike Knox. It's barbershop talk, still we think outside the box. We take it to the hoop, y'all be trying to find your shot. Sports talk, the best on the dial when it's time to rock. We talking football, baseball, boxing, any sports you can name. Keep your radios locked in. Listen, you can get the scoop on all your top 10. Mike Knox, Soul and Sports, we keep it hot, man.
If you're not down with that...